Turn your Bibles to Acts 26. You know, the Bible says, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure. Say, good pleasure. To give you the kingdom. And I hear people all the time say, well, you know, I'm not about this. I'm about the kingdom. I'm not about that. I'm about the kingdom only. When I hear that, I'm thinking, what is their definition of the kingdom? It's your definition of the kingdom. What does the kingdom mean to you? What is your, if you have a small, isolated vision of what the kingdom is, then that's what the kingdom is to you. But the kingdom is not defined by what you think it is, what I think it is. The kingdom is defined by what the word of God says it is. Amen? And so you can't just define the kingdom by our callings, because in the midst of our callings, we're dealt a measure of faith. In our measure of faith, we'll see things with almost lenses. If you're a king, you see everything kingly. If you're a priest, you see everything priestly. If you're an intercessor, you see everything intercessorily. You see things in the light of your calling. And so that's the way you define the kingdom, or someone don't have a capacity to define the kingdom in the light of their calling, and they can't. A lot of times when you're focused into your calling, you can't see anything else. But that doesn't mean when someone else is operating something, it's not the kingdom. So you have to define the kingdom by way of the word. I will define it by the word, but I'll give you a broad definition of it. Now, I want to know what Jesus told Paul the day of his conversion. In the day of his eyewitness appearance, when he appeared to him, he said something to Paul that was really amazing. And in Acts chapter 26 says this, he's given his testimony to King Agrippa, and he's talking about on his way to Damascus, the light of heaven fell upon him. Verse 13, he said, at midday, O king, I saw the way and a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them that was journeyed with me. And we were all fallen to the earth. They all fell to the earth. I heard a voice speaking unto me. A lot of people say, oh, well, the Lord appeared to me. Listen, the Lord appears to you, you will fall to the earth. Just like John did, like Paul, like a dead man. When the Lord appears to you, I mean, if you're in an eyewitness appearance, you're not going to be standing. The voice speaking to me saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus whom you persecutest. Arise, stand upon thy feet. Now, this is Paul's first introduction to the Lord in the eyewitness state. Now, notice what he says. He said, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness. See, there's a time to minister and there's a time to witness. An eyewitness, you can write eyewitness. Both of the things which you have seen. This is his first appearance, so he's talking about seeing him. And the things in which I will appear unto you. A lot of Paul's power was in the eyewitness. And he said, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I will now send you. Now here's his message. He has a twofold message, but he has abundance of revelation, but he has two major streams. He says, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. So that's his first message, is go to the lost. His message was to the lost, as I determined to know nothing but Christ and Christ crucified. Because that's your introduction. The cross is the introduction to Christianity. There's not much use of preaching anything else to the lost but the cross. Because that's their only way in, amen? Hallelujah. And it's the cross with power. It's the cross with demonstration. And so that was his message to the lost. But then notice what he says. He didn't preach. He didn't stay there. Like Hebrews says, let us grow up into leaving the foundation. You don't leave it, but you grow up from it. Notice what he says here. He says, preaching forgiveness of sin, the lost, and, say and, inheritance among them that are sanctified. So once you're saved, born again, you preach inheritance. Say inheritance. Got to know your inheritance. And to know the inheritance, you got to know what the kingdom has available to those that are sanctified. Amen? So here's a good definition, a broad definition of the kingdom. Here's a definition of the kingdom. Because the kingdom is inheritance. The kingdom is what Christ provided for us. So here's, This is everything that Christ has inherited on the behalf of the fallen, lost world. Everything Christ has inherited on the behalf of his church, those that are sanctified. Everything that he's inherited on your behalf individually, and everything that he has inherited on the behalf of your generations to come. Four major operations: the lost, the church, you, and your generations. That's inheritance. Inheritance by nature passes down, so inheritance has to not only be for you, but it has to be for your sons and daughters. Now, you can look at it as natural sons and daughters, like Carson, Victoria, and spiritual sons and daughters. It's a inheritance. That's what the kingdom is, by the way. The kingdom, and I'll fill you in on all of those things Christ individually inherited for you, for his church, for the world, the lost and fallen world. Then he inherited for his church. There's a lot of scriptures that he inherited. Then he inherited for you. Then he inherited for your generations. That's what the kingdom is. Amen? That's a broad definition, but when the scriptures get filled in, you see a panoramic inheritance. So you want to see the kingdom in a greater lens than just your calling or the particular facet you're in. You want to see the broadness of the kingdom, and it'll keep you balanced in these areas, and also give you the capacity to receive. A lot of people can handle inheritance for the church, but when they start dealing with inheritance for them personally, they have a hard time receiving, believing and receiving behalf, because they don't know how the enemy works. When you start trying to believe for you, it's okay to believe for the what you consider the kingdom, the lost world, or the church, you know, but when it comes to start believing for you, then the enemy kind of shows up and starts telling you you're selfish. He starts telling you that you're all about you. You're not about the kingdom. You ever heard that? Oh, they're just about themselves. They're not about the kingdom. The reason is because we don't have a definition of what the kingdom is. It's Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And do you identify what the kingdom is? Most of us understand what the kingdom is for the lost. We know what the kingdom is for the church. We know what the kingdom is for us, but when we start appropriating it, somehow the enemy starts telling us, oh, you're being selfish. How come you're not out there about the kingdom for the world? Well, what I have found in ministry over time, if you're not solid and you don't gain your inheritance and you don't get your life on a rock, then you're not going to be really much good for the world. It's a good thought that you're going to go to the world and do all that. But if you're not solid yourself and you have things in order, you're not going to be very productive out there, because the strong man's going to eat your lunch while you're out there winning the world. He's taking apart your family, see, because you haven't got the kingdom in that area. So the appropriation of the kingdom must all be balanced. Amen. We must, in the fact that you use your faith to appropriate the kingdom personally, does not take away from your heart to the world, your heart to the lost, your heart for his church, no more than you go into your job. You know, you're going to your job to make a living. Brought this out Sunday, you know, I brought Carlos up. I said, you know, you work 8 hours a day in your job. I said, what do you do that for? He said, so I can give, so I can pay my bills. I said, does that take away the kingdom in your life? Because you do that. He still has a heart for the lost. He goes out on the streets. He still prays. He still comes to church every service. He's still in love with God. So spending 8 hours in his occupation didn't take away his heart for the kingdom, no more than spending an hour a day in faith for you personally and your generations to get your life on a rock is going to take away your heart for the kingdom. For the kingdom for the world, the kingdom for the lost, the kingdom of the church is not going to take away, but that's what the enemy will tell you. He'll try to stop you before you even get started. It's super important we get everything on the word now. We get our life in faith. We get it on the rock. We get, because where things are headed, the only standard that's going to be unmovable is the standard of God's word. Amen. That standard is so immovable, the enemy will not be able to take your life apart. Amen. Now, he's ruthless. He goes about as a roaring lion. He's looking to devour people that are devourable. And when you have the Word of God and your life's on the Word of God, he can't come devour. One of the great things he uses is necessity against God's people. And that's why you have to have a strength in that area with the Word of God. Amen. So we'll get more into what Christ inherited. It's important to not only know it, but to settle that he inherited it for you. Now, what we're learning now, where we're at now, where God has us revelation-wise in this journey, is how to appropriate that inheritance, the finished work. We operate from a position of a finished work, how to appropriate from heaven to the earth. And God has given some major keys and revelations and mysteries. Paul told the Corinthians, he goes, we do speak mysteries, but we speak mysteries that those are full age. We do speak them though. And we have to understand that the things of the kingdom of God are a mystery until God enlightens the eyes of our understanding, because it's a spiritual thing. Amen. It's like anything you do, you have to learn. You have to learn how it works. Amen. Faith works. Say it works. Faith is the currency of heaven. Faith is the currency of heaven. When you go to a bank, the bank's going to give you currency by way of a loan, whatever. But that bank is standing there and it's the currency. But faith, currency is the exchange mechanism. See, everything in life has to exchange by way of currency. Okay? Faith is that currency. That's how you exchange in the kingdom of God. If you don't have faith, you can be perfect, pure, holy. But if you don't have faith operating, you're not going to get the exchange you're looking for. Amen? Now, faith is not everything, but faith is a lot. Faith will move your mountains. Somebody said the other day, they said, well, it's really all about love. He says, you know, faith, but the greater things in love. And I said, yeah, but if you don't have faith while you're having your love walk, the enemy will eat your lunch while you're walking in love. You'll get plenty of opportunities to walk in love. Faith is what upholds you. Faith is what moves mountains. Faith, hope, and love. You got to have it all. He said, faith, hope, and love. He didn't say just the greater is love and don't worry about faith and hope. He said faith, hope, and love. Where does God have us now? We've been in the leaven effect. Kingdom of God is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in the three measures until the whole was leavened. Those three measures are super important, highly important. They need to be a part of your operation of your faith. The measures are the word. The word, faith, and dunamis, yes. A lot of times when they're trying to exercise faith, they're trying to exercise outwardly. Inward faith is the first stage. You got to get the ingredients that God's going to use to transform with, to create with, to move the mountain with. Amen? Don't start with mountain moving faith. That's the last final operation. You get mustard seed faith. You receive. You receive the word. We receive dunamis. And faith is utilized in the receiving. Now, what are the operations? What are the five operations of faith? Pre-leaven faith. Post-leaven faith is speak to the mountain and it moves. Once you get to post-leaven, it's already done. Once leaven takes place, when the Holy Spirit comes in with the law of the Spirit of life and he infuses your faith and he infuses that word and he infuses dunamis, he quickens it is what he does and he releases. Once you get to that phase, you're done. You've got the answer. It's done. Have you ever had the breakthrough before you got the breakthrough? You got the breakthrough inside and then it happened outside. That's when the Holy Spirit quickened it and it was already done. Once he did it here, he's going to do it out here. So I call it pre-leaven. The quickening post-leaven. So pre-leaven faith has five operations. Who wants to tell me what those five are? Three measures. Faith, hope, faith, dunamis, and... Wait. Let's stay. We got three measures. We have faith, dunamis, and the word. All pre-leaven. These are receiving. This is all received within. But then faith itself, pre-leaven faith in that one measure... has five distinct operations. in that one measure. So three measures, all pre-leaven, all this takes place within. We're not without yet. We're not out here. This is a great mystery. It seems complex, but it's really not. Once you get it, it's like clockwork. It's bam, 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 bam. You got the mystery of the kingdom. You're working it. I'm going to give you something huge today. The first operation of faith is hearing the word of the kingdom. Then hearing and then accessing. Faith that accesses. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Having therefore boldness to enter in the holy of all by the new and living way, consecrated by the veil of the flesh, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. What is faith to access? What is that for? We utilize our faith to get in position to pray. We've talked about that a lot. You go through the veil, enter in Christ, into the temple. All that's by faith. You got that? See, we get in position to pray by faith that accesses. We all know that. First, we had to hear that, understand how to do that. So that was faith to access. So faith to hear is faith to access, then faith that receives. If a man stands praying, let him, what? Believe. That's why we got to chart this out. Believe that he receives and he shall have. When you pray, God, you're praying for something. You're praying for something that's in the kingdom, right? Well, that's spiritual. It's got to manifest here in the natural, whether it be healing, whether it be substance, whatever. So that has to make an exchange. So when the Father sends something to you, he's not sending you the tangible thing you're praying for. He's sending you the spiritual inheritance you're praying for. He sends his word. He sends dunamis. He sends you the building blocks by which the Holy Spirit is going to manifest the kingdom, right? So faith has to receive. When your man stands praying, let him believe that he receives. So he receives the word. He receives dunamis. So you receive. See that? It's faith that hears, faith that accesses. Everything's done in a position with the Father. Faith that receives. By faith, Sarah received dunamis power to conceive. So we got faith that hears, faith that enters or accesses, faith that receives, faith that hears, faith that accesses, faith that receives. What's the fourth one? Acknowledge. That's it. Faith that acknowledges, keeping the word. You must learn to keep the word. You keep the word by acknowledging that word before the Father every day. The fact that you acknowledge it, it's in your mouth, it's in the frontlets of your eyes, it's in your heart. You can write it down. You can get something that represents what you're believing for and put it in the palms of your hands. See, that's faith that keeps. You've got to keep. The communication of your faith becomes effective by the acknowledging, say acknowledging, of every good thing that's in you, in Christ. What's the final one? This is all pre-leaven. I know this seems advanced, but the kingdom is a bit advanced. There wasn't mysteries for no reason. We're in the realm of mystery. We're in milk, meat, and mystery. Hear, access, receive, acknowledge or keep, and faith that sees. All of this is done. A lot of these things are already done, but all this is done. No, access is you move into the veil where, you know, it says when you pray, enter into your closet, shut the door, it's position, shut the door. I am the door by me you entereth in. You go in and out and find pasture, having therefore boldness to enter into. He was our high priest that went through the veil before the Father, that Father that seeth you in that secret place. Faith for access moves you to the secret place. And get in the secret place, you got to move in there by faith. Amen. Faith that hears, faith that accesses, faith that receives, particularly faith is going to receive two major things, the word and dunamis. It's going to receive it into the heart. Then faith that keeps that by acknowledgement. Those are four. And then the final one is faith that sees. Say faith that sees. This one's major. This one is going to crown your faith. How many of you would like to get answered prayer on big stuff? Listen, if you can answer your prayer, you don't really need to pray. Unless you want to pray for God to give you favor and help you with something. But if you want the God of the impossible, I'm talking about praying to the God of the impossible. If you want the impossible, you're going to have to learn how to do this. You got to learn what the Father's looking for. Why doesn't the Father answer our prayers? Is it when I pray the 50th time, or when I confess it 50,120 times and God's marked it and said, okay, they've been faithful, give it to him. He's looking for something. You got to find out what he's looking for. What does the Father want? What does faith mean? I want to focus on this fifth operation of faith, the final one, the final pre-leaven operation of faith. This one is big. Now, when you learn to do this, you're going to spend a lot less time working the kingdom, and you're going to spend a whole lot more time inheriting the kingdom. When he told Paul to preach inheritance, there's a reason. Inheritance is a free gift, but it must be exchanged by faith, and it must be exchanged by way of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Look, there's a big old inheritance for every one of us in the right hand of God, but it doesn't do anything good until it gets down here. We have to learn to get it here. Amen? And thus far, all the stuff we've done before hasn't got the fullness of what he's gotten for us there, here. And so you can say, well, he's not ready for that. But listen, he's always ready because he inherited it already. It's already there. And I want to talk to you a moment about the seeing faith. Faith that sees. What does your faith see? The reason why God didn't start with faith that sees and he's ended with faith that sees is you never want to start seeing faith without having received the word and received the power of dunamis with it. The reason is because the word that you received is the boundaries that you're going to see into. Otherwise, you're just going to get into soulish seeing. That's what the world does. Positive thinking. Just see it. You know, the world teaches these principles because it's a dominion mechanism. That's not what we're after. We're not after the taking human sufficiency to the utter limit, you know. This is the guy that broke the 4-minute mile. You know how he did it? He said, I saw it every day. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What we're doing is seeing into the word. When he told Abraham, see, he gave him his word. Your descendants are going to be as the stars of the heavens, sand of the seashore. He said, nations are going to come out of your loins. All the families of the earth are going to be blessed in you. Your seed's going to possess the gate. He's always talking about his future. But then he tells him, not only is he saying that, he says, now look to the stars, Abraham. Look to the sand of the seashore. See, he was seeding the eye of faith. Because he was going to give him a command to birth something that was an impossible birth. Because the time he was calling the birth, his birthing faculties went dead and so did Sarah's. So God's saying, I want you to give birth. You're 99 and she's 90, an impossible situation. And God said, I command you to give birth there. You see that? That's how God works. That's the kind of attention we're trying to capture now. We're trying to capture the attention of the omnipotent God. We want a birth out of the impossible. When the situation and the circumstance impossible, that's the best time. But just because you're living in circumstances, your warfare doesn't qualify you for advancement. Your faith qualifies you for advancement and graduation. Some people say, well, I know I'm going through a lot. God must be ready to do something. You can keep going through a lot year after year after year, and God will still sit there in heaven because God's already done it. It's how you appropriate what God's done. Your warfare is not going to graduate you. Your faith is going to graduate you. There are a lot of people say, I wear warfare and say, I know God's going to do this because I'm going through something. Everybody goes through something. Nobody's immune but through going through something. That's not what graduates you. It'll make you stronger to cause you to endure as a good soldier, and you must learn to endure. But if you want to graduate, you're going to do it by faith. That's how David graduated with Goliath. That's how Caleb moved the strong men out of the mountain. They did it by faith. Boom. And the final operation of faith, the power leg of faith, is faith that sees. It sees the word that's been received. See, when the promise gets received, it comes with an image. But you have to learn to release the eye of faith into that image. And this is what the Lord's teaching me to do right now. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The sanctified imagination is the tool by which the Holy Spirit used to rewrite the canvas of your belief system. Now get this, I'm about to throw something on you that's huge. Your belief system, When God said, let us make man in our image, your belief system is a canvas that's been written on all of your life. The enemy's written on it. People's words have written on it. Your own mind and your own thoughts and your own words have written on that canvas. What people say about you. Somebody was raised and all their parents did is tell them they're no good. You'll never amount to anything. You get told that enough, you believe it. They walk around with something that was written by somebody else, but they believe it because it was told them so long. They walk around all their life, they're trying to measure up to something because somebody instilled in them that they were no good. You see that? And so they walk around and see that becomes a stronghold. And that belief system orders their life at that point. And it orders failure in their life. They don't even know why they're failing because it's written on their belief system. And as you think in there, what has been written on your belief system gets manifested out here, whether you know it or not. Whether you like it or not. You don't know that your belief system's ordering your environment. Somebody that's raised in steep, deep poverty. I mean, spiritual poverty. Bad. That is so hard to break that mentality. Everything is ordered around poverty. You think around poverty. You react around it. When you go buy things, everything's expensive. They never think that they're valuable enough to have something nice. Because their value gets affected by it. It's on their belief system. Where other person's belief systems is naturally engaged in the blessing of the Lord. And they don't have any problem wearing something nice, buying something nice. They don't have no problem with it. But another person, they'll struggle with having something nice. Because they get something nice gets on them. It's a garment. I struggle. It's just, you know, I should not have bought this. I should have bought that. Feel guilty. Shame. It's part of a belief system that's been introduced. That's a stronghold. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down imaginations and every high thing that's exalting itself against the knowledge of Christ. Those things exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ. They exalt it. And what they'll do is they'll order your life. They'll order a whole church if you let it get seeped up into a church. I cannot allow my belief system to be affected by what's in somebody else's head. I can't allow the vision of this church to be affected by what's in someone else's heart. If I let this vision get affected or off course because of what somebody else thinks, then I am subject to what everybody else thinks, and we're going to be in a mess. What do you call that? Dysfunctional. We'd have a very dysfunctional vision. We have to be settled. And what God has said. That's why these things have got to get unseated. Say, I am worthy. That's part of receiving. That's part of knowing your Father. That's why he started the Lord's Prayer. My Father, which art in heaven. My Father. He's not your earthly father. He's your heavenly father. You may not have had a good earthly father. But he's not like your earthly father. But you may not have had a godly one. You may not have had one that knew God, that taught you the ways of God. And because of that, that earthly father, the heavenly father, you got to know him as father. You got to know his love. See, if you know his love, you understand his love. You understand he don't struggle with near the stuff you struggle with. He don't struggle with any of it. But he only respects faith. He'll love you unconditionally, but he's only going to respect faith. He does not have any respect for unbelief because he gave his son for you. He allowed his son, and that was enough. He said it's enough. He only respects faith, but he loves you unconditionally. You're not going to move him outside of faith. Your need's not going to move him because your need already moved him. He moved with Christ. Know you the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty have been made rich. So let's talk about the seeing faith. Once faith receives the word, you have your foundation. Once faith receives dunamis, you have the empowerment. Now the enemy works the exact same way. See, the word is going to bring an image with it. And what you got to do is get in touch and start allowing yourself to see. Say, see. You learn to start allowing the Holy Spirit to construct a new image. You're on your way to graduation in God. You can go to church 50 years and not graduate. But if you want to graduate, you must allow the Holy Spirit with the word and dunamis and the sanctified imagination to construct a new image. Because God deals with image. Not here in the heart, in your spirit. He's dealing with the image of who you are. Let us make man in our image. Man lost their image. God's restoring image. What does he say? I do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or imagine. Remember we said not reverse, but Holy Spirit, though, how is he going to show you things to come? You have to rehearse the things that are come. You rehearse. Faith rehearses. That's why I said, don't let this word depart from, keep it in the frontlets of your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart and keep it in your mouth. So you're keeping it in the dominion place, the place where it's going to birth. It's got to be on the frontlets of your eyes. Moses understood it. Solomon understood it. David understood it. Jesus understood it. Paul understood it. The great men of old understood you cannot let it depart. You got to keep it there. Don't let it go. Don't let the image go. Let it grow. Don't let it go. Let it grow. Don't reverse. Rehearse. See, this is the work of faith. People don't want to do that. They want to go win the world. Come on, let's go win the world. You get out there and you have no power. Because you have no image that's preceding you. You have to practice faith. You think faith is going to show up. You don't practice faith. It's a muscle. You'll lose it. When you lose faith, you're going to go back to you and what you can do. And if you're presently satisfied with the results of your life, then you don't need to be listening to me today. Or you want to graduate and become great. That's why the enemy's afraid of everybody that's born again. And this one thing he does not want people to know. He really doesn't want you to understand this. He has no defense for it whatsoever. Nothing. Because when God takes that image, it's going to be manifested by the power of the Holy Ghost, not by your human sufficiency, but he's waiting for the image to be formed. See, the word comes in with a seed. The seed has an image of what it wants to be, but that image is going to be formed inside you. Do you know a seed has the very image of what it's supposed to be locked inside of it? When it's planted, it knows what it's supposed to be. It's already in the seed. So the seed, what God wants, he wants a seed sown in the heart. It starts as a seed, but then faith starts releasing its image. In faith, you got to let it release its image onto the canvas. And what it does is it paints its image on the canvas of your spirit. Did you get that? When the seed paints its image, when you're working with the Holy Spirit and all this, once that image has been painted, God says, that's it right there. Then he orders the Holy Spirit to manifest what? The image. That's dominion. That's how it works. 1 Timothy 4 and 14. Neglect not the gift that's in thee, given thee by the presbytery. You can get impartation. But he tells you don't neglect it once it's there. Verse 15. Meditate upon these things. What's meditate mean? Speak, ponder, utter, and imagine. Everything we're telling you to do. Look at this. See, give thyself wholly to them. Say wholly. Do you know what that means? Wholly? Give yourself wholly? Be in these things. Okay, this is the last thing I'm going to tell you. This is good. The way the Lord would talk to Abraham. He would talk to him panoramically. Your seed will be as the stars of the heaven, as the sand, all the families of the earth will be blessed, as the sand of the seashore. You'll become a father of many nations. He's given him the panoramic scope. Abraham wasn't even alive when most of his stuff was fulfilled. Okay? So he gave him the panoramic. But then in the end, he comes to him and when he's 25, he'd been telling him, but Abraham wasn't listening. So he gets down. He says, Abraham, the seed is coming through your loins. Your loins. And that's when Abraham fell on the floor and started laughing. And Sarah, she laughed too. God said, I'll name him laughter because you laughed. Now, watch this. Abraham's whole responsibility was not to give birth to a whole nation, but to give birth to one son. So God narrowed it down and he gave him a target to his panoramic faith. See, at panoramic faith, you don't look at this whole thing and say, I'm going to birth the whole thing. So what God does is he isolates it down into a target that represents the whole. Okay? Makes it easier. Like, Isaac was a target. You follow that? So Abraham uses all his faith, and they finally birth Isaac. Guess what happened when Isaac was birthed? The entire nation, the day Isaac was birthed, was leavened within Isaac. The entire promise, the panoramic promise, was automatically leavened at the birth of Isaac. Meaning that Abraham didn't have to sit there and go, faith, 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 faith. For the nations, they were coming out because Isaac was born. The target was born. God leavened the entire vision at one birth. So when you get a target for your vision, when God brings it into target, when you birth the target, you birth the whole. That's why I'm focused. I got horse blinders on me right now. Not to the right or left. I'm so into my target right now. I'm living in my target. I'm escaping into a reality that's actually truth. It's greater truth than what I'm living now. You see it? When the target gets birthed, the Constitution gets leavened. When the target births, the Constitution gets leavened. Everything starts coming out now. Boom, boom, boom. One after another. Your subsequent births are never as hard as your first one. They're going to be easy. Your first one's the most difficult.